We are live on this Wednesday, May the 8th, joined by former Wolverine Jim Scarcelli, who has been with us pretty much since the season has ended on Wednesdays, and it's great to see him. Scar, looking good. What's going on?
Oh, Denny, it's mid-May. You know, I just pulled out one of my old Michigan camp t-shirts. I got a few of them left. Man, I worked at camp for 15 years, worked with a lot of great coaches, man. I think Wink worked at camp. I worked at camp with John Harbaugh, Rick Minter, so many good coaches that went on. I remember when Mike Elson was a GA and just a gopher, you know, as a young coach. But I got the old t-shirt, brought back. Did that for 15 years, and that we did a lot of recruiting out of that camp.
And how has it changed? They don't do camps overall, or they do them for younger kids, or do specialized camps?
I give Harbaugh credit. Okay, the trend is 1 day camps. You bring a guy in that it's all about recruiting now. You bring these guys in that you want to recruit, and you're basically evaluating them on a 1 day deal. But Jim also did a 1 day for anybody, and he only charged $25. Now, I don't know. I'm hoping Sharon continues that, because it was, you know, it was when I coached it, there was the Jim Herman ran it. Lloyd Carr ran it when he was it was always the defensive coordinator that ran the camp. And a big part of the reason they did it back then was for money, too. I mean, they weren't paid like they are now. These guys don't need to do it for extra money. And, you know, it was a big way to recruit kids. And now it's just not as big a deal, man. They just, you get filmed so easy. They go to all these 1 day deals, but there was a big emphasis on giving the kid the money's worth. That's what Lloyd Carr wanted. That's what Jim Herman wanted. We're going to give the guys, we're going to coach the heck out of them. I don't care if he's never playing college football. You know, that was an emphasis from what they felt value wise we should be giving these kids.
And now they I think would all kind of work together. There'll be a camp up at Ferris, and there'll be a camp at Eastern, and there'll be a camp at Michigan, and it's kind of like they all agree to kind of go around, and those are the 1 day camps too. So
yeah, the Sound Body, Sound Mind stuff cut into some of that action. That they do it up in Grand Rapids or California, right, you know, different places, and that makes it easier for certain guys. And that's a whole nother topic that if you want, maybe we'll discuss that 1 week, my thoughts on Sound Body, Sound Mind, because there's a lot going on there that makes it easier for college coaches to just come 1 day and they're all invited to look at kids.
But well, I like it.
Camps are still a factor in recruiting. They're still a factor in recruiting.
Well, what also is a factor in recruiting is name, image, and likeness. And what is also a factor in recruiting, although it's not high school recruiting, it is transfer portal recruiting, and those things are all going on, and that's what we're going to talk about today. And let's start out with the name, image, and likeness. And you wanted to go south with how you saw Ryan Day, and something struck you down in Columbus with the Ohio State coach.
Well, I saw that they have a different strategy up in Columbus now. Gene Smith was always the guy that was making the phone calls to the big donors. You know, he's the athletic director. He'd be like Ward Manuel. Okay, so what they found was that Gene Smith only has so much juice when he talks to Al Glick or, you know, Ross, our guys. You know what I mean?
Potential donors, yeah.
Big-time donors. So what they decided, they realized, let's have Ryan Day call these guys. So now they're talking directly to the coach. Hey, we're going to have you in the suite. We're going to have you're going to have access to this. We're going to do this. Maybe we'll name, you know, whatever. So they found that there was more juice when the donor had that access from the head coach, the phone call from the head coach, you know, and they feel that that's helped them. Okay, and maybe we might have to work toward more of that, where Sharon may have to be more direct line for some of those big donors. you know, and delegate more to coaches. It's one of the things I hated, Danny. Everybody's got to do it. Damn near every high school coach, some way you got to fundraise a little bit for some of that extra stuff. College guys got to talk to donors, this, that, or whatever. Some guys like it. I hated it. Just to get that extra money to have a couple of dollars for T-shirts, whatever. But the collective sounds like it's going now. Danny, we have a they hired a new woman. This, I don't know if you saw. We had it on our website. That's Therese Whitehead. So she's going to be really handling this thing and trying to coordinate it and make it more efficient and really help our coaches compete. You guys had, they had an article on it today. I got to believe, Danny, that something good is happening with NIL because of what's happened with that basketball team. The ability to bring all those kids in. And we haven't lost guys from our football team. You know, the one safety, and we lost the linebacker. I didn't want to lose. But anyway, speaking of transfer, then real quick, I would like to see us get that kid from Michigan State, that safety, Mangum.
Yeah.
He's got us on his list. That kid can play. He's a young kid. He played a lot as a young guy last year. So, you know, that's a kid I'd like to see us get.
Yeah, you know, if you follow above board name, image, and likeness, and you see what Michigan's doing, it seems like they're the best in the country with how they've organized it, who they've brought in, what they have running it across the board. You look at it, and it just looks like a model of ways to do things. And yet, you complain about it if you're a fan because they're not necessarily taking the money and saying, hey, you know, here it is, come on in. And, you know, so they're doing it a different way. They're still not, people say Michigan needs to get their NIL together. I mean, how many times you hear that? I see that every day. They need to, it's either complaining about Ward Manuel, refusing to take money, which seems bizarre to me, but that's what a lot of people think. And the other part is that, you know, people just blanket. They put that blanket statement out there that Michigan needs to get their NIL together. It seems like they have everything that you need. The thing that they're not doing is the thing that we've been talking about for years, and that they are not willing to walk in there and say, hey, well, this is the bonus that you can have coming in, or they're just not willing to go to the prices that some other teams are, because they have in the transfer portal. They do seem to be waving a little cash around. They seem to be reluctant to wave the cash for the press.
Danny, you know what I'd like? You know the million-dollar question I'd like to know?
What is that? Yeah, tell me.
I'd like to know what that discussion is like with the kid Mangum, the safety from Michigan State. I'd like to be in on that discussion with Sherrone Moore and the NIL opportunities, options, pay, whatever. I'd like to hear that. I'd also like to hear that conversation with Esposito, Mark Wink, and Sherrone with the kid from Grand Valley. I'd love to hear that discussion. You know, we're talking about it. We just don't know. You know, the kid from Grand Valley's got us. I think the same thing with Mangum. There's like four teams they're down to, right? You know, and I just would like to know where we stack. We don't have the answer to that question. If someone can give us the answer, but he's got us in the list. Now, if we close the deal on one of those guys, you got to believe we're throwing something on the table. But we're going to find out. Those are two guys we need to look at to get a real good feel for just what are we doing to entice the transfer.
Right. Well, it's going to be different for different guys. And that's why what you're talking about here, and there's two guys. Let's just see. These are the guys that Michigan has right now. Javier Suggs, the defensive tackle from Grand Valley, Michigan is in. I think there's a final six for him. And then Mangum, who is a safety from Michigan State. The thing is, it would be surprising. They're not giving these guys the moon and the stars to come in. Both of these guys are depth pieces. They're not offering Mangum to come in. Michigan has Makari Page.
Hey, Danny, Mangum could start. Mangum could be a guy that could be a starter. He's that kind of an athlete. He's a hell of an athlete. I'm just – the other guy, I don't know. Mangum is a kid that will compete to start right away at the safety position, in my opinion.
Well, maybe they're offering him a little bit more money. So they would offer him a little bit more and Suggs, and when you look at Michigan's the depth there, is he coming in? You know, he's got you looked at the list. I don't have it in front of me, but you know, was it one of the Florida schools? So there's some big time programs in there. Is he looking to get on the field and into the rotation? Is he just coming in, you know, as a depth piece? Is he just looking for the biggest payday? I don't, you know, whatever it is. But what we have seen just from last year and what we have seen from both basketball and football is that Michigan, NIL-wise, they are paying NIL promises for transfers, but they're not doing that for prep prospects. At least that's the way that it appears that how they're going about their business.
And again, I'd love to have been in on the conversation with Avery Gatch from here, a local kid, and then the kid from Chicago that we signed, you know, committed. So how do we know the answer to that question? We're assuming, but we just really don't know what kind of NIL offers that those guys were given.
Well, we're assuming that because the top players that are preps, if they consider Michigan, let's just say the five stars, ultimately they don't go to Michigan. They might say it's got nothing to do with NIL. And then at the end, it's exactly what it looks like. It looks like they're just going somewhere because they're getting offered money. That's the way it looks. As much as you know, you like the kids that they got, neither of those guys are considered, you know, five stars. Kid out of Illinois, pretty highly rated. They can show guys on the team, and once you get in, what you know, Michigan's got a lot. Michigan's got I would think of an awesome presentation about, you know, what you can make, and you know, if that's what it's going to be, and how it can be, and where you can make it up, and all of those things. A lot of people like to get shown the money up front, and that's the spot. But with the preps, they are, I mean, the transfers from other school, they are showing them the money up front. And that is not somebody that's told me that, but you go to last year's basketball when they had to have somebody at the end, and Olivier Kamwa, it looked like, I mean, it walked, talked, and it looked like a duck. It looked like Michigan was paying, promising Kamwa money. That's what it looked like. And then they got 10 transfers last year. And some of those guys were, you know, I don't think they were just coming in on come play for a championship team, which is a nice attraction to come play for a team that's in the top five. But it also looked like they were shelling out some promises, you know, to those guys. That's what it looks like.
Yeah. Well, you know, a kid's going to evaluate a lot of different things, man. You know, you show them those four rings, you show them that, you know, the guys really still care about the education. You know, we had 13 guys drafted. You know, our style of offense is geared toward it's a pro style offense. Our style of defense, you got guys that coordinated in the NFL and Mentor and McDonald both coached in the NFL. So, you know, you're selling NFL, NIL, championships, and a guy is evaluating all that stuff. You know, does he trust Jerome Moore? Does he trust Wink? Does he, you know, trust our offensive coaches? And so you don't look at one thing. And but Denny.
Yeah, but let me just jump in a second before you go any further. I think the gap will be closed at some point, but I think the guys that go through high school and get these rankings, five-star rankings and all the different services, that there's already valuation that's put on them, and they've got a number, and they're like, I can get $100,000 or $200,000 up front. So Michigan can come to the plate with the rings, with the playing time, with the education, with all of this, and it all sounds so good. But another team could come to say, look, we've got $100,000 here sitting here waiting for you, and that's what you get. And that's going to win out.
I know, but Danny, what did UCLA get? What did UCLA get for whatever they gave Dante Moore last year? See, that's the Michigan philosophy. Whatever they gave Dante Moore as a true freshman to go to UCLA, it was a waste of money because the kid, he won't be a real good player. I mean, he will be a good player, but not as a freshman. So they paid him. They developed him and gave him whatever the hell they gave him, and now he's going to continue his development at another school.
So yeah, that's good, Michigan
wants to stay away from. We're not going to pay you, develop you, and then you're going to pack your stuff and go somewhere else. So
I agree, Scar. I think it's part strategy. It's not just Michigan saying, this is against the rules, even though, they've come out. You've got Virginia. You've got, the antitrust. This is the way it's going. The NCAA says they're not enforcing it. Michigan's not just sitting back saying, we're not doing it because it's technically against the rules. And, we're ethically better than everyone. They're doing it strategically.
Yeah.
Partly.
Yeah. Vinny, I tell you, I wanted to transition over. Are you ready? I wanted to talk about Avery Gatch. I talked about him about 2 months ago. You remember how I talked about him being a guy I really was zeroing in on?
Yes, I do remember that.
Okay, well, the reason I say that was this kid's parents both went to Michigan State. I want to make sure we dominate Michigan State. It's very important. I want them getting 1 out of 10 guys that we offer in the state of Michigan the way it was when we were up and running for 40 years, Schembechler, Moeller, Carr. We were getting the majority of the guys that we both recruited against. They get a guy maybe 10% of the time. Okay. And a really, really smart coach, Michigan guy, told me this years ago, Danny. I don't know if I ever shared this. Why he wanted to keep Michigan State down. And this was his reasons. I'm not going to tell you the name of the guy, but he was a name we would all know.
All right.
They can get guys in, and they can keep them eligible. That was a fear that this Michigan coach had about why we have to continue to beat them so they don't get their program going and don't get momentum. Because we saw when they got momentum with D'Antonio how hard it was to overcome them. So you don't want them to get momentum. We want to keep them 6-6. We want to keep them 7-5, firing their coach every 4 years. That's the best scenario for Michigan fans, okay? Anyway, this kid, I know people who know him and this, that, or whatever. I actually met the kid, okay? And this is how these are the kind of guys we got to get, Denny, and that's what I think we're recruiting. When we go on the road to Penn State, we beat them on the road, and we don't have any penalties on offense. We don't have any offsides. We don't have any of that stuff. You know what that's attributed to? First of all, this kid's a big, strong, tough, athletic kid. He's got all the measurables, okay? But he's a smart kid, okay? You go on the road, no penalties against Penn State, hostile crowd, got to communicate, got to make adjustments, got to be a smart offensive football team. These are the kind of guys you win championships with. Now, I'm sure that there's a bunch of other ones that fit the same mold because that's how you win championships with guys that can play and guys that can smart. Anyway, are smart. But I met the kid. I shook his hand. I just got to tell you, the intelligence jumps out at you. I've seen his film, and I don't want them guys in Lansing getting any of these kind of kids. They get the guys we don't want. And anyway, fired up that we got this kid.
Yeah, well, it makes it that much sweeter when he's a legacy player to Michigan State and you're able to get him to go to Michigan. That's no small thing to be able to do that. But you go back to what Michigan's selling and Michigan for the last 3 years, however you want to say, I know you say it was the defense, the style of play, running the ball, smashing in committing to a physical offensive line is right there. If you don't want to say it's number one, it's right behind Michigan.
Yeah, let me clarify that a little bit. Maybe, listen, I've said that the change in our program was the things we did on defense. I mean, yeah. You can see that it changed as soon as we changed our structure. Maybe we always had what it took offensively, but we just couldn't get off the field. So maybe, because our offense hasn't totally changed. Jim has evolved. He was more Stanford when he first got the job. He wanted to run a ton of tight ends. But I think the transition with Josh Gattis, we opened it up. The RPO game came in with Gattis. And but anyway, I don't want to beat that up that I was totally focused.
I don't know. It's okay. That's one of those other things that you give Harbaugh credit for. He came in, he had a style, and then he – maybe he thought it wasn't working or the game was changing and he was willing to go to a speed and space and hand the keys at first to Josh Gattis. Now, I think he started after a year with Josh Gattis, he started getting more involved and even more involved. But at first it was like, you know, hey, Josh, you're coming in and we're not, you know, this is not Stanford. This is not 85, you know, Michigan football. This is not when I played. This is something we're doing differently. And, you know, so I give him credit for that.
Yeah, now, the RPO game, it really started to evolve the last 4 years. It wasn't in there when Jim first got to Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
So, Danny, I'll tell you another thing I wanted to talk about is the trips. I wanted to, Michigan, we have not heard anything about international trips, right, with Jerome Moore? No trip planned?
No, I don't think so, right.
I believe, and obviously Sharon's has, you know, maybe, I don't know. We don't know what's going on, but I firmly believe that those things help recruiting now in this day and age, because when Jim first started it, there was no NIL. I just think it tells a parent, look, I care about your kid as a student athlete. So when Jim takes him to Rome, he takes him to France, you know, he takes him to South Africa. That's practicing what you preach. I care about your kid as a student athlete, you know? So I thought that stuff was good. I was hoping that it would continue. I think it's a way, you know, I think it builds camaraderie too. You got your team together for a week going places. And I wouldn't know. I'm not that guy getting recruited now, but I think if I was, I know my old man and my mom would have liked that concept of, you know, hey, he's taking my kid to South Africa. I don't have the money to take him there, you know? So I don't want to see it. I don't know what's going on with
it. I thought it was brilliant. There were a lot of you know, folks that were like, well, this isn't football, and you know, what's that gonna do? And it wasn't paying benefits right off the bat. You didn't see it necessarily in recruiting. But for all those,
yeah, we don't know that. We don't know what a kid's thinking when he's getting recruited.
You're right. I'm just saying, like, you didn't look at the recruiting class and they weren't just you know, shooting up the boards. Yeah. Michigan wasn't top five. It looks like to me another example of Jim Harbaugh coming in, and I always wondered when we came from San Francisco and came to Ann Arbor, how was he going to do it? More than just, you know, the coaching and X's and O's on the field, it was going to be satellite camps. It was going to be signing with the stars. It was going to be taking the football team around the world. These were the things that he was doing: looking in the rule book, looking for area, anything that you could do.
Danny, when you're getting beat, you know, that's when you're getting beat by Urban Meyer and you're getting D'Antonio's beating you up and they got their programs up and running. And you know, we weren't Michigan at that time when he took over. So sometimes you got to think out. I respect guys in business, as football coaches, whatever, that think outside the box and say, yeah, hey man, this stuff ain't working. Okay. They got momentum. We got nothing. And I still think the satellite camp, as a former high school coach, I still think that that's a great concept, and I have no problem with that, because every kid don't have parents that can take them all over the country to go on those unofficial visits to meet coaches. And I think it's still, it's harmless. Ain't hurting nothing.
Well, it goes back to a point you had earlier when you said down at Ohio State, they were handing, you know, Ryan Day the phone and say, you know, smile and dial and get some of these big time donors. I noticed that a couple places. I remember when Michigan went to Paris, and they just had it wasn't a generic photo. It was like, it was on the Michigan football website, but it was pictures of the Michigan football team and the coaches. And they were, you know, sitting at a cafe in Paris. Now, yeah, you were looking for, just like I was, you know, who were the players. But what I noticed, there were two donors that I know that are as engaged as any donors out there. And they were sitting at a table and they were laughing it up with Don Brown. And I thought, this is genius. This is what you're talking about. Donors, this is the kind of thing they want. Sure, they want access down at the sideline, but you know, guys that have a lot of money, what more access are you going to get? You know, sitting out at a cafe, you know, in Paris, talking with the defensive coordinator. I thought that was brilliant. Yeah. And that same other donor, I remember they went whether it was next year or the following year, it was South Africa. They were, you know, looking out. I don't know, wherever it was. It was beautiful. But I looked, and there Harbaugh was in a picture with that donor just two or three down. And I thought, yeah, what? I don't know if that's how he intended it with the donors and everything, but I thought, oh, that's a stroke of genius. That's really getting it done. Now, those guys might have foot the bill flip the bill, whatever it is to, you know, to get them all out there to begin with. But now you're in the NIL. That's the same kind of thing. I thought that they had something that they were looking at for, or maybe Harbaugh was just talking about it because he liked, you know, Gettysburg and he wanted to get, you know, to the Capitol. And then they nixed that. And then with the pandemic and everything, they did the tour around Michigan, which looked really awesome that they did there. And, you know, so maybe they'll come back with something else like that.
Yeah, I think it was good. I don't know where it stands now. Danny, another thing, another transfer that is, it's interesting, man. You know, Rutgers had this kid, Whitsett, Gavin Whitsett. I think that's how you say his name. Remember the athletic kid they had? He gave us trouble a little bit. I thought that was the future for them.
Quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I watched their spring game. They got the kid. They got the kid from Minnesota, the guy who was their starting quarterback, Annalopoulos or something. I don't know what the hell his name is. So he's got two good quarterbacks. I watched Rutgers spring game. Whitsett just transferred to Kentucky now. So it's just interesting. I thought that, wow, Rutgers has two really good quarterbacks. But now the Whitsett kid is leaving the conference and going to Kentucky. So, you know, that's interesting.
Scar, what also is interesting is going to be your response. And I want to ask the people out there, if you have questions about Michigan football, I've got a question that I'm going to ask Scar. I want you guys all to answer it as well. People are coming up and they want to know. I know we get down in the weeds and it's recruiting and it's NIL and it's transfer portal. What's going to be the key for Michigan this year? You're going to see that, you know, we know they lose Jim Harbaugh. We know that they lose their entire offense besides Colston Loveland, but they got a good defense coming back. The big part about that, everyone's going to say, what about the quarterback position? That's the most important. And how's Michigan going to do there? Those are all the question marks. What are you saying to people, Scar, that ask you about Michigan and how they're going to be within the Sharon Moore era that starts this year?
Yeah, I see a rock solid first 11 on defense. I'm having more and more confidence, having looked at this spring game, that our next 11 will be really, really solid. A couple guys need to get cleaned up on their technique. But I have a lot of faith in our second 22 on defense and the future of our talent on defense. I see us missing nothing on defense like we've done the last 3 years. We'll be every bit as good defensively as we've been the last 3 years. Wink does a lot more stuff that we did in 1985 from what I'm seeing. But it's very similar to what – it's not much different than what Wint Minner's done. And it's the same stuff, okay? And, okay, so defensively, I'm totally confident. Offensively, I love our offensive line. I love our tight ends. We got tight ends that can block. I had questions about tight ends that can block. That question's answered. We got all kinds of depth at running back. Those questions are answered. Donovan Edwards is bigger, stronger, tougher. He's going to be a different running back this year. We got three good running backs that I have a great deal of faith in, okay? And I like our tight ends. I think our coaches have a little concern about receivers. We brought Amarian back in. Do we have guys that can do things like Roman Wilson and that? So, okay, it gets down to quarterback play. Danny, here's how I see this thing being a two-horse race, in my opinion, right now. My opinion is it's Orgy and Tuttle. Tuttle and Orgy. And I think in that Fresno game, those two guys are going to play. And I think we have two good quarterbacks there. And I want to see Tuttle that he's 100% recovered from whatever the heck kind of injury he had. And but I think I think those are our top two. I don't think in no way did they bring Tuttle back for a seventh year to hold the clipboard. And he didn't come back for a seventh year to hold the clipboard. So they have a lot of faith in him. They got faith in Orgy. And you know, if Orgy's the guy, we can't be third and seven. We got to be third and two. We got to be third and three. They're going to do everything they can. Teams are going to do everything they can to make the game on his shoulders as a passer. If I'm defending Michigan with Alex Orgy in the game, I'm doing everything in my power to say, number 10, you beat us. And that's what everybody's going to do against us. But we have to make him pay with his ability to run. And then when they do overcommit to stopping our run game, stopping his run game, then we got to hit him with big play passes. That's why I said I think we're going to be a big play Yeah, you're right, John. Winsett is from Kentucky. That might have been part of his deal. But then I think we're going to be a big play offense with him in the game.
I like it. And I know that the majority of people, I do it myself, you know, this time of year, they say, well, who's going to be the best teams? And you look and you see all of the talent that Ohio State, you know, the guys that they're bringing back and then what they were able to bring in. And then they do have, I don't know how proven he is, but Howard was, you know, took Kansas State and won that Big 12 championship game and beat TCU. He's a big guy and he's a dual threat quarterback. You know, you and the wide receivers that they have, you can understand why people like Ohio State. Oregon, you might say, well, what are they bringing to the table? You know, they lost their quarterback, their running back, and but they get the transfer from Oklahoma and Dylan Gabriel. So that's why people like Oregon, and that's where, you know, the next cut after Ohio State and Oregon, that's where Michigan's at, and yeah. That's where you talk about how far Alex Orji or whoever that quarterback is going to be. It looks like it's going to be Alex Orji to start, and then, you know, you're going to go, you know, from there. That's how it is.
Yeah, Oregon, Ohio State, Oregon, Michigan, Penn State, those are the guys that win the recruiting. You can just see there's a little bit more talent at those four schools. Okay. Yeah, I don't think USC is recruiting, you know, he's trying to, but he's getting the kind of size, toughness, offensive line size, 4 or 5 stars, you know, whatever. I just think those four, Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State, Oregon, you know, in Washington is right there, you know, getting the kind of size and talent like those four. But
yeah, I wonder about Aller, you know, guys, just because he was very highly rated and, you know, he's a prototype, but man, he was not very impressive as a thrower last year.
The second year, he'll be better. Denny, I'm gonna tell you right now, a team I'm looking at, if you want to make some money when they start
putting Yes, I do want to make some
money. Right now, a team I'm going to be looking at, because I think they're going to be really, really good because of a couple reasons, is Penn State. I'm looking at their win total. And the number one reason is the guy running that defense. I've always told you how much I like Tom Allen. Yeah. Tom Allen's a hell of a defensive coach. What he did with Indiana talent, give him Penn State talent, they're going to be a hell of a defensive football team. He got the guy. The offense is going to have a little bit of that Kansas tweak to it. The quarterback will be a year older, much better, second-year starter. Penn State is the team I'm looking at for that win total to put some cash down.
I like that. And we know they're not playing Michigan, are they, next year? So
yeah, they don't have Michigan on the schedule. Hey, Denny, I wanted to just touch on Dusty May. I don't know if where you wanted to go yet, but I listened to his press conference.
Yeah,
you know what the guy just hits you right in the face with? When you listen to Dusty May talk, you know what he just smacks you right in the face with? Intelligence, likability. You can see why that guy can recruit, and you can see how he built the program. I think we have two really, really good, you know, basketball coaches that are smart guys, that are relatable, that are likable. That comes across with Sharone. It comes across with Dusty. And I just liked everything I heard him say, man, in his press conference about, you know, building this thing. He mentioned Knight again. Denny, I got to tell this quick. Did I ever tell you the story about me being in the tunnel, what Bobby Knight said to Bill Frieder? Did I ever tell you that story?
No, you never did.
So I never was down there by the tunnel during a game, but I had a kid we were recruiting, a kid named Bud Garrett. He came to Michigan. I was his host. So he wanted to major in communication. So they let me take him down there by the press room. And I was down there at halftime. And they're coming off the court. Knight and Frieder are coming off the court. They got in an argument. Frieder wanted the referee to give Knight a technical because he was getting in his face. And Knight was pissed off that Frieder was trying to get the official to give him a technical. So they're coming off the field to get off the court together at halftime. And Bobby Knight, he called him a chicken blank fellatio performer. I think I could say fellatio performer, right?
Yeah, I got the gist of what you're talking about there.
My recruit was right there. We were right there. I was 10 feet from him. And that's what he called Frieder coming off the court. That's one of my Bobby Knight stories. And Dusty, again, he ain't afraid to mention Knight. I think this guy has a whole lot of, you know, Danny, when you're looking at competing with Bob Hurley, you watch that guy, you listen to Bob Hurley, you see toughness, you see intelligence, you see relatability, likability. I think we got a guy that can compete with Hurley, you know, to win a championship. So that's my Bobby Knight story. And I'm really liking what I'm seeing from our basketball program and, you know, the kind of people he brought in, man. And I listened to him talk about networking. This is so important in recruiting for football, too. He talked about all the guys he brought in. Him or someone on his staff had intimate knowledge of every guy they brought in. You know, he says he's just really big on knowing the history and culture of a kid. So you don't bring some rotten apple into the program. So just really, I'm really happy with our two big time coaches, man. I want to tip the hat to Ward. I know some people don't, you know, everybody ain't in love with that, but let's get past feeling bad about where we're at with Ward and whatever let's move forward as Michigan, Danny. That's what I want to pound the table for. Ward's our guy. He's hired two good coaches. Whatever people have their opinions about about Harbaugh and how that was, it doesn't do us any good as Michigan, Denny. It doesn't do us any good to keep beating that up because all it does is hurt our recruiting. And I just want to point that out. All it does, the more Michigan is divided about whatever happened to Harbaugh, this, that, or whatever, all it does is hurt our recruiting and our image. So just want to point that out. Let's move forward. We got two good ones hired.
Well, it's a great thing to remember, and it'll be really top of mind when in the summer when the book comes out of Armin Katayan, who apparently is got a book that is going to be released with the subject matter of how Ward ran off of both J.J. McCarthy and Jim Harbaugh. So just remember, I think it's a good idea what you're saying, Scar, but it's going to be revisited.
Is that guy just interested in money? Then you got to wonder, is Ohio State funding that guy to write that book? Seriously, these guys, it's just like politics, man. People do whatever they got to do to destroy the opponent. What's motivating that guy to write that book? But it doesn't help us. It doesn't help Michigan.
Yeah, his best friend, that writer, is also best friends with Jim Harbaugh. And the guy's just got a thing against Ward. He can't let it go.
What the hell is it going to do? It's just going to hurt us.
I don't know what it does. You're right. It doesn't do any good. It doesn't do any good for Michigan right now. You're right about that. I tell you this, Scar. People, you know how you say people like to say, you know, clicks. And people like talking about the Michigan football drama of, you know, cutting Harbaugh's salary in half, his contract here. Was he really having a foot out the door? Did Ward really want to get him out? You know, all the stuff, you got a championship, all the stuff that go into it. Man, there was a lot of drama. And people still like, and you could take 100 Michigan fans right now that would share with what you have to say. Like, yeah, we've got to move past it and everything. But half of them have the opinion that Harbaugh did want to stay around, and the other half are like, you know, no, he was out of here. So there's enough there.
I don't care if it's general fans, like whoever talking about that, all that historical stuff. I don't want the parents of guys we're recruiting thinking that stuff is still hanging around, lingering around Michigan. You know what I mean? Because I'm just focused on recruiting. That's my thing. And I think any negative stuff about a college indirectly affects recruiting. I believe that. Anything negative, I don't care what it is, going on at Michigan is not good for recruiting.
Yeah, I believe all of it, right? You need the programs that shine the most. Now, you could just say that it wasn't happening at Michigan. So what are you talking about? But, man, a president, an athletic director, and a football coach, you know, those three rowing in the same direction. And then everybody around them, but it really helps when you have all of that and everyone working for
it. It's the same thing in high school, man. It's the coach, the high school coach, AD, principal, superintendent. Pros, it's the owner, the GM, the head coach. College, it's the head coach, the AD, you know, the president. And, you know, there's always some other rotten dudes that stick their nose in there, like some regents or some donors or some bar members in high school. I dealt with all that mess. There's some guy that wants to stick his nose in there. And but, Denny, I'm fired up. We're in mid-May. Well, listen, we're in mid-May. This is a great time to be a football player up in Ann Arbor. You know, you got your little workouts. It's not overly time-consuming. Some of them guys might be taking classes. Some of them might have jobs, but it's a good time to be a football player. I remember this time of year. You know, it's the calm before the storm, because once we get into doubles, man, the party is over. So they are enjoying Ann Arbor, you know, in enjoying the good life. It's nice, low key. Just get your lift in, get your run in, and build. And this is really took time, Coach Denny, for Coach Tress. That's his name, right? Justin Tress?
Yeah.
This is where that guy and the greatest strength coach in the history of college football strength coaches, Mike Gittleson, really unify a football team is right now. So Tress, he's got a you know, those things are happening on a daily basis.
Well, I know, Scar, you've never done it yourself, but I've heard many former Michigan football players and they would sound like snakes when they would talk about Gittleson, because they'd all have that, you know, his name was Gittleson, and they would run that S out there, that double S, like, you know, I don't know what that had to do. Or,
you know, Bo used to call him Gittlestone. Bo had nicknames for everybody, you know. Gittlestone, but his name was Gittleson. And anyway,
well,
Justin Tress, this is his time of year to help build the camaraderie and build a tough, mentally tough football team.
Well, best of luck to strength and conditioning coach Tress at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning when he's putting the guys through their lifts and everything else. Scar, thanks so much for putting us through this podcast. It was great as always. We enjoyed it, and you know, season, it'll be here. People are, you know, I haven't seen many countdowns yet. You know, there's people are still basking in the glow of a national championship, but the next season will be here before you know it. So there you go.
Yeah, we'll finish up some film next week. Jerry will have some more Friday. And we'll start looking at some Texas, some stuff in the future, some other film. But it's all good, Denny. Go Blue.
There he is, Jim Scarcelli. Well, you could listen to him every day. There he is.